Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. We'd like to begin this morning with a prayer. We have a prayer request on behalf of the family of Denise Levine. We had a prayer for her a few weeks back, and the Lord has now called her to her eternal home. She would be a sister-in-law to Stephanie Schmidt, and let's join in a prayer for the family. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you on behalf of the family of your child, Denise, whom you have now taken to be with her Savior. We pray that you would be with all of them in this time of sadness and mourning. Comfort them with the wonderful hope that you have granted to us through the knowledge of Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Give them hearts of gratitude for the many blessings that you brought into their lives through her and her service to them. And we pray that you would teach all of us to number our days in this life that we may gain hearts of wisdom and cling to our Lord Jesus for our hope of heaven. We pray this all in his saving name. Amen. Please join me then in the confession of sin as you find it on page 109 in the front part of your hymn book. Dearly beloved, we've come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship him, let us kneel and bow down before him, let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises you have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For his sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles.
O Lord, open my lips.
May be seated for our lesson. The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter known as 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 7. And St. Paul writes regarding himself, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. So what was this thorn in the flesh? I've often wondered, was the Holy Spirit intentionally vague when informing us of what Paul was struggling with? People have speculated that it might have been a certain physical ailment or malaria, possibly something affecting his eyes. Some think it may just have been a really powerful temptation to a particular sin. The word that he uses here that is translated thorn in the flesh is actually a Greek word that means a sharp pointed stick that jabs at you. So was it left kind of unknown to us intentionally by the Holy Spirit so that each one of us could read our own thorns in the flesh into this text? Paul does identify where it comes from. He says, it was a messenger of Satan to torment me. That's an interesting statement, a messenger from Satan. And the word for torment here, to be troubled, it means to get beat up with someone's fists. It's the same word that was used to describe Jesus being beaten the night before he was crucified. And even though Paul recognizes this trouble he's dealing with is from Satan, he says, it's interesting that he then pleads with God to take it away. So he recognizes the source of it is not from God, and yet he recognizes also that God has the power to take this away. And he's really expressing something important for us to understand here, that God and Satan are actually working together in this situation. But they're both working, of course, for completely, completely different reasons. One of my seminary professors used to always warn us, be careful never to make God the author of evil. Never make God the one who creates evil. We know from the Bible that in him there is no darkness at all. So God is never the fountain from which evil comes. But there are times when God may shape the river of that evil with certain riverbanks to have it strike us and hit us in our lives in a way that he wants so that it can ultimately benefit us in our spiritual lives. And even now, St. Paul in this text is recognizing that there is a loving purpose behind whatever this trouble is that he's going through. And he had just verses before this been boasting about all the different things that he had endured as a Christian, as an apostle, all the things that he'd had to go through. He brings up prison, being flogged, being shipwrecked. And then he talks about that he had even visions from God, revelations from God about certain things. But then notice what he says, so that I don't become exalted above measure. So I don't get so puffed up about myself. In order for me not to get so prideful, God decided to take me down a notch, is really what he's saying. It would have been easy for him to kind of brag about his super apostleship, that he's kind of Joe Christian, and kind of have some self-reliant pride in all the things that he's accomplished on behalf of the gospel. But that can become very dangerous for our faith. And Paul realizes that it might have been possible for him to underestimate just how badly he needs God and his grace and his care and so on. And I don't know if you've ever found that for yourself, but there are times in life when it's easiest to forget about God and to forget about our faith or to minimize it or not kind of treat it like it's not as important. It's usually when everything's going fine. Maybe we've had some successes. Maybe things are going well and life is pretty smooth. Your health is good and things seem to be clicking along. That's probably the time when it's the easiest to start forgetting about our need for God. Imagine, if you will, a little 4-year-old girl, and she and her family have just arrived at a hotel, and they're up on a fourth floor of a hotel. And there's a little balcony out the back, and the door is locked. And she keeps bothering her dad that she wants to go out on the balcony and play out on the railing on the balcony. And he says, no, you can't do that. And trying to express to her how dangerous that would be. And she's getting mad at him and starts banging on the window and everything. I want to go out there. So he finally opens the door, but grabs her very tightly and takes her to the edge of the railing and leans over with her a little bit so she gets a sense of what it would be like if she fell. And all of a sudden, she grabs onto his coat tighter than ever before. And so even though she is sensing her tremendous, tremendous weakness and vulnerability, she's actually safer than she's ever been. This is how God may sometimes deal with us in life. He takes us to the brink of difficulty and tragedy and sorrow and trouble. But it may be for our good to get us to grab onto him and his grace and what his Son, our Lord Jesus, has done for us to pay for our sins and give us the holiness we need to get into heaven. God may want to make sure we don't let go of that ever. And so sometimes he might just let us have to experience some suffering in order to appreciate that again. St. Paul comes to this conclusion: when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak in myself, then I am strong in Christ, because it makes me cling to him all the more. That sentence makes no sense to the world. When I'm weak, then I'm strong, but in faith it makes complete and total sense. When I am weak, then I am strong. A theologian once wrote this: the cross, which is the heaviest for you to bear in life, may be the place where God lays hold of your soul the most tightly. So ask yourself, when does God's word mean the most to you? Is it when everything's going well and smoothly in your life? Or is it maybe when your faith is under attack? Or maybe you're struggling with a particular sin? When does the gift of prayer mean the most to you? Is it when you've had a fun day at the Mall of America? Or is it when you're laying in a hospital bed? When does the grace that God has given you in Christ that can take you to heaven, when does that seem the sweetest to you? A lot of people who have fallen into very difficult sins and it's brought trouble into their life, and or maybe they're wrestling with a particular sin, they'll often say it's when they sense their deepest weakness about sin that they realize how important Christ is and the holiness that he gives us in our baptisms and through the gift of faith. When do God's promises of eternal life and going to heaven resonate the most strongly in your heart and in your hearing? It's usually when we have to face the fact that death is a reality all around us, either for ourselves or our loved ones. So God invites you and me to look at the earthly struggles that we go through in a completely different light than we maybe normally would. Paul comes to this conclusion: therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. Amen. front part of the hymn book. Please rise. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your boundless grace, for the sake of your Son, you've given us the Holy Gospel and have instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith until we at last obtain salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.